Welcome to Federal Insights for February, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing automation, sponsored by GDIT.
Continuing our theme of modernization, in this show we check in on the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, where a major network and IT infrastructure update is ongoing. For details, I spoke to the Deputy Director of Infrastructure Services, Isaac Hernandez.
FDIC is no different than a lot of the agencies in the government, right? We have a lot of infrastructure that's been there to support the mission of our customers. And, you know, we have a plethora of on-prem services, and also we've delved into cloud, quite a few different cloud platforms. I'm going to keep cloud platforms right because of some procurement sensitive information that I have. I'm going to refrain from saying which clouds we're in, but all the major players that are out there, we're involved in those. So it's really a hybrid, and most all other agencies, we are in that transformation in moving from trying to get away from traditional IT services to more of a cloud-based. More automation, more reliability and elasticity of our infrastructure. So it's really no different. I mean, it's kind of almost boring. I've been doing it for a long time. so it's an interesting question when I get asked that.
All right. And we'll talk about automation, but I want to talk first about modernization. And you mentioned cloud, and most modernization efforts involve cloud in some manner. But give us the overall view of modernization and what you're doing there, and then we'll zero in on some of the maybe specific projects.
Sure. As I mentioned, like most agencies, the evolution of IT support of its missions with unique workloads resulted over the years of many custom developed applications, in addition to the underlying legacy technology supporting applications over the years, is a common challenge in all the federal IT organizations. However, you cannot target modernization just based on technology alone. So as the banking industry, which we regulate, continues to change and meet the demands of the market, our business lines also continue to evaluate potential impacts and determine the best way to conduct the missions and activities as well. Our goal is just like anyone else, really, to provide a robust and secure IT infrastructure that promotes and emphasizes the efficiency of our operations of IT services. And this includes modernization and migrations of applications to like low-code, no-code cloud platforms, which these initiatives assist in reducing our on-prem footprint on our data centers and in turn, you know, reducing the operational expenses as well. And by nature, these cloud platforms are continuously updating itself, which helps reduce the burden away from INO and development teams of the continuous cycle of deferring, upgrading, and modernizing. These platforms allows us to the ability to not only deliver and operate these platforms, but evolve our traditional IT services as well. Automation, as we first started talking about, it fits directly into our efforts and our resiliency of our services and reducing the service outages with their applications or the underlying infrastructure. Is outages are caused by like human error, for instance. By automating these variety of repetitive tasks, such as, you know, building an environment, whether we're building servers in a virtualization environment, installing software, supporting software, applying security patches, this increases our efficiency and our accuracy that otherwise would have been lost in time, productivity, and cost. Which leads us to one of our major goals, right, is our major initiative, the evolving into DevSecOps environment, which without automation, or this is the key of DevSecOps, the automation itself, we will not be able to accomplish those goals. So I'm not sure if that helps out in answering the question or not.
Yeah, well, that's covered a lot of territory there. Let's go into DevSecOps a little bit, because a lot of agencies talk about that, and it does have elements of automation and cloud and so forth, because ops implies that things are happening on their own. And so talk about your approach to DevSecOps, what the aims are and the strategies you use to get it going.
All right. So we are in the infancy stages of DevSecOps. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, our goals of getting to DevSecOps is the foundation of what we're trying to do, specifically to move these into these practices where we combine the software development and security and IT operations. technology such as container technologies is the thing that we're targeting, allows us to package these applications that we're trying to monetize of a lot of our custom developed applications that over the years have been developed to run with everything included, the security operation, all of those dependency via the automations that we are targeting. We have already established certain practices such as agile practices in our environment where DevSecOps will really complement these approaches in order to meet our goals. You know, again, being the initial steps of this, it's really, really changing about changing culture, right? Breaking everyone out of the traditional way of doing business and getting away from those silos. So we've taken an approach of really looking at our culture and having a culture initiative to be able to collaborate with each other and to make sure that we are all in line and with our business needs, make sure that the outcomes of our business is being met and be able to continue to keep up with our business need. And unless we build our foundation and make sure that that is solid, you know, we can talk DevSecOps all that we want, but if we don't start working with the people, looking at our processes, you know, going from a traditional processes and developing and morphing them into the DevSecOps model, and, you know, in our pre-proof process and technology, you know, the actual container technology and unbelief, we're not going to be really successful, you know. But we're taking in a careful approach, you know, as the saying goes, the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time, right? So that's, we're taking a cautious approach of it, and we're definitely working on changing our culture into moving in that aspect space. Difficulties, bumps in the road, of course, because there's resiliencies, there's times where people think that you're taking something away from them or something that people are comfortable with, but it's a matter of bringing everybody along, getting buy-in, and understanding that everyone's goals and missions and objectives are going to be met, right? There's nothing. I'm looking forward to the days, and I've been in IT for a long time, been in the operations fields for and an I&O leader for a while, and starting out as a developer, and actually back in one of my previous lives, before the CISO became a part of the lexicon, I was tagged to be a security officer. And then on top of that, being operations, having that background, I'd love to see the day where we can do all this, develop an application where all the compliancy from security is there already, so we don't have to think about that as an afterthought. And then all of the operation nuances of making sure things are aligned with the technology would be great. I'm just so looking forward to it. I'm so optimistic in getting us there.
And a final question on the DevSecOps side is, a lot of this work, the development itself, is that done by FDIC staff, or do you have vendors and make sure they are doing DevSecOps for you? How does that interact? Because it does go back and forth among different agencies, how much they do in-house versus how much they have contractors do.
That's a very interesting point, and every agency has their nuances, right? I've been at FDIC for 4.5 years, so I've been really in entrenched in how we do business. So at the FDIC, we have both. We do have Fed staff that does some development, but majority of it is our partners and our contractors that go. So again, is also looking at our contracts as well and modifying them, and any new contracts that come about is to really emphasize the need to provide that kind of skill set. You know, looking for partners that are out there that have done DevSecOps, that's gone through that digital transformation, or maybe with other agencies that we can take advantage of their lessons learned and so on and so forth. So that's the major, you know, I think back, like, this is my second government agency, and I've also consulted for the government for a while and back in my private sector days. And, you know, it's a common thread throughout the government of, you know, what's inherently federal functions to where, or versus the advantages of having a partner or vendors out there who do this for a living, where their business model is that, and finding that balance to bring them both together in order to accomplish your goals. So that's the state of the environment that we're in. And we continue to work with our partners and, of course, with our business units as well, because as any transformation, we also have business units that are relying on the applications and the development that we have in-house as well to support their mission. So,
Isaac Hernandez is Deputy Director of Information Services at the FDIC. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.
Welcome back to our interview with Isaac Hernandez, the Deputy Director of Infrastructure Services at the FDIC. We're discussing IT modernization. And getting to automation then. People look at automation in a lot of different angles. There could be the automation that is user-facing, so that there's bots on the help desk and this kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And then there's the automation for, as you say, spinning up new instances of applications in the cloud and so forth. What are your automation priorities? We'll start there.
Wow, automation priorities. So, you know, I when I think about that question about our prioritization, how do we prioritize, you know, what do we do, what potential projects, what potential areas we want to focus on, I always think of just the nature of IT, right? The nature of IT in the way it grows through history, when you break it down to the lowest common denominator, the ones and zeros, is really automation, right? It's taking whatever processes any industry has and automated. You know, you think about back in the day when you had some services and you pay cash and somebody writes an invoice and just gives you a piece of paper, you know, systems automate that, right? So, you know, our priorities in automation is really to look at and start looking at the, and this is the approach that we did, is start really looking at the low-hanging fruit, right? Targeting those areas that, as I mentioned before, bringing value to the business lines, right? It's important that you don't do these things in a silo. Specifically, you know, not to update or automate things, or let me put automation aside for a second, not to just upgrade or modernize things just for the sake of modernization, right? Here's a new shiny toy. But you really need to align yourself with the business. So with that, we started to build foundations of developing governance for our target infrastructure framework for automation. This is important to avoid the traditional complexities that organically manifests itself in providing a maintenance and support of automation, such as what comes with the implementation of different tools and technologies. So developing that governance and framework, so setting those standards for building the blocks of automation helps, is very helpful to not only shaping the skill sets and the culture, as I mentioned earlier, so that we don't make the same, I'm not gonna say mistakes, because I'm not saying that the evolution are mistakes, but to learn from the evolution of the traditional IT services and avoiding the fact that you're doing what you're doing. I mean, I think about, you know, if I was starting a new company today, right? The plethora of products and services that are available to you out there that 25 years ago, if I started a company back then, I would have to think of facilities. I have to think of, you know, building out a data center to support our IT services. Whereas today, you don't. You know, I go to service, use cloud. It provides all this information. But when you're retrofitting, as we're discussing here, it's important to avoid having those different methods and making sure that, you know, we're not building things in silos. So. We work with the demands of our business needs. We build out roadmaps specifically, not only from a platform and services perspective, but also in looking at, okay, as we are upgrading or modernizing these applications, how much more automation can we do that helps in bringing those services and those capabilities and functionalities to our business. Now, that's from a customer perspective. And internally, is also, we have our governance processes that we put. We have various technical review boards that would allow decision makers based on set criteria, you know, business need, funding, scope. And when cases arise and conflicting priorities come into play, senior leadership, like myself, is part of the plan and is presented the factors, and we help facilitate the path forward based on risks, business priorities, and overall goals. So automation is just the foundation. And in some cases, just like we find ourselves today, we're talking to each other and we're talking to each other virtually because, you know, of our COVID environment and in situations like this where unforeseen events happen, we're forced to adjust our business models and automation and automation tasks that we would traditionally do and conduct manually if we were back in the office.
Sure.
We were forced to do that quickly.
Yeah, right? Well, can this translate up to, say, the mission level? I'm thinking of,
absolutely,
just take, for example, the resolutions division, a big part of FDIC, and sometimes they get on the road, they go to a bank that's troubled, they take it over,
absolutely,
they have a lot of steps that they have to do before they get to the specific, whatever, financials or situation of that particular institution. Can you, when you think of automation, do you think of what are the first 10 things they do before they get to the specifics on the local scene and somehow translate that into an automated process to save the people going on the field doing the resolutions a lot of time and a lot of effort that's repetitive?
You're hitting the nail on the head when I talk about business line and bringing value to the business, not only from resolution perspective, even the work prior to that, the examinations that we do for banks. COVID itself, you know, had made us change our business model to where it used to be that we used to send, you know, depending on how the size of the organization that we're examining or the bank that we're examining, could be anywhere from 5 to 10, maybe 20 people that goes to do these examinations or do these resolutions. And so we had to take a hard look with, you know, specifically with COVID, to look at, okay, these are the processes that you're currently using. These are the current process. These are the current applications you're doing, and quickly adapt to, you know, what is it that we can do that before we were manually doing it, and provide some kind of automation to speed up the ability to allow those examiners and allow our individuals out there that's doing these particular activities remotely, quickly and more efficiently. So you're hitting the nail on the head, and absolutely, we've done that and we continue to do that as you know, we're going on. Wow. It's going to be in March, probably almost a year in this mandatory telework situation. And, you know, we all know, and we've had plenty of conversations, whether it's internal within the CIO organization, or whether it's with our various partners in resolution and in the examination field, about how this changes and it advanced us, you know, 5-10 years ahead of time, because our business is going to just dramatically change. There's no need to go back to the way we used to do, but have the ability to all this automation and efficiencies that we've gained just based on the situation, but also to complement what we do in the future.
Isaac Hernandez is Deputy Director of Infrastructure Services at the FDIC. We'll return with the third and final segment of this interview in just a moment. I'm Tom Temin.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Isaac Hernandez, Deputy Director of Infrastructure Services at the FDIC. Our topic is IT modernization. Seems like every agency is thinking about artificial intelligence and a lot of them talking about it. What is it to you? And are you thinking about it and thinking of ways to deploy it? How could it help?
Oh, my God. This AI specifically is a really interesting topic or technology for me specifically. Back in my private sector days when I was consulting for the government, I worked for a specific agency, specific vendor, I'm not going to say their name, that we had specific technologies that did self-healing, right? And I was always amazed at how that comes into play. So artificial intelligence, specifically for me as an IO leader, AI ops is very important to us, because the ability to have a system or some kind of a system like AI ops that allows us to take information from various different other platforms, technology, you know, through analytics and actually machine learning to really target in real time, detect issues, and in real time, really fix things or resolve items in our services that normally would may take longer is extremely helpful. And this year specifically for us, and part of our IT optimization planning, which is what we normally do in the IO world, you're constantly looking at optimization. We do have on the books a study and a plan to look at the various technologies of AI ops and seeing how we can imagine the benefits of doing that internally. One of the biggest challenges of IO leaders in the federal government is also is keeping up with the competition of the consumer market, right? And you know, our customers outside of the agency demand it. Our customers within our agency demand it. So myself and my leadership team are always constantly looking at what is it that we can do to have that environment there, so that similar to when you go into your house and you turn on a light switch, the light comes on, right?
Sure.
So things like AI ops is definitely things that's going to help my team and my organization to make sure that our services are up and running. And I'm really looking forward to it. So again, we are in the initial phases of looking into this, and we're actually having it on the books to do a study.
And I imagine a big part of AI ops would be ingesting, first of all, curating and then ingesting the data you need to train the artificial intelligence algorithms. And so do you have an approach for that piece of it? Because that's really crucial to AI.
No, absolutely. And just like most agencies that deal with data, as far as the federal government and the creation of the chief data officer, we have been heavily invested in 2020 and moving into 2021 in looking at our data and making sure that, you know, we have a good plan of you know, not only retrofilling all the data that we already have, but whatever data that we're constantly creating in its life cycle. And that's imperative because, again, with AI, specifically AI ops, which will be trying to get information, like, for example, from our SIM systems and our virtualization systems, and grabbing all that information, the integration between those is very important, and the learning of it, right? Again, I'm old school. I started out as a developer, so I am a big proponent of the garbage in, garbage out situation. So if you do not address that at the very beginning of it, your AI ops or even automation initiatives are going to be very difficult. I mean, not impossible, of course, because you're constantly fixing and you're constantly evolving. But those approaches right here, we do have a heavy focus on that. And, we're constantly talking. As a matter of fact, we had a meeting this morning about certain things that we were working on and setting these governance and new frameworks for us.
Isaac Hernandez, Deputy Director of Infrastructure Services at the FDIC. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for February, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing automation, sponsored by GDIT on Federal News Network.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.